Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Happy Thursday, everybody. So Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today, and Annie was talking about it earlier. I was talking to Ryan out in the hallway. I'm like, hey, how you doing? He goes, you know, it's been a long week. I'm like, you know, it has. I don't know if it's just all the rain and everything. I mean, yesterday, everything kind of went to hell in a handbasket with the traffic and all that stuff.
You know, right? I looked up that accident today, and it was 10 vehicles.
10. Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you run into that at all, Fred?
On my way home, no, it was pretty...
he goes south.
On south.
Oh, that's true. You're going the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just fine going the other direction. There was no problems at all. It's funny how that works. Yeah, that was kind of crazy. And then today started off similarly where it was raining this morning. My dog got up like at 3 o'clock and decided to leave me a present on my bathroom floor. On my rug. That was very nice of her. So I don't know what's going on with that. My wife sent me a text later on that said, Coco's not feeling good. And I'm like, yeah, I know. She greeted me this morning with that. So that was kind of crazy. Today is National Day of Prayer. President Trump had a expanded National Day of Prayer at the Rose Garden today, and he had everybody there. Most all his cabinet was there. Well, the ones that are still in the cabinet. So Mike Walls, we thought, lost his job. And then what we found out is he's really just changing jobs.
So he's moving on up.
He's moving on up to the United Nations.
Is he really? I don't know anything about this. I've been unplugged. What is it?
So Mike Walls, the National Security Advisor, right?
Right.
So
yeah, right.
A whole thing came out. Remember about that chat that was going on?
The signal chat.
The right. signal chat that was happening that was, you know, supposed to be secured and all that stuff. But somehow, and nobody really seems to admit how this happened, they ended up looping in the editor of The Atlantic, right? I think that's who it was.
Right,
that was
right.
in, got looped into this chat. And Pete Hegseth was part of this and a number of folks. And the Democrats have been beating on this for a long time and say Mike Waltz needs to go. You need to be rid of him. They hate Hegseth, so they want him to go away as well. But today, right before the Rose Garden Day of Prayer ceremony happened, as a matter of fact, they announced that they're letting Mike Waltz go as National Security Advisor. And his assistant, his deputy, was being kicked out as well. And so you had all the talking heads kind of talking about that. The Democrats taking a victory lap, should have been gone from the beginning, blah, blah, blah. This is a horrible administration. You know, same thing that we always hear. And then you find out that, well, he's actually not gone. They're just moving him to be the United Nations.
To be
person.
The U.S.
The
ambassador
to the United Nations.
Which was a position that was to have been filled by Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, but then she was pulled back.
Right,
because
they were worried
President
about losing
Trump
her
said
seat.
We might lose her seat in New York. So she was pulled back to stay in Congress. So that's you know, that seat's been open. And so this is going to be, you know, Mike Waltz is going to be the nominee for that seat.
And but, I would assume, I mean, they approved him before. I would assume they would approve him again.
May be hard, although a lot of Democrats are saying this is going to be a bloody confirmation because of all the signal information
right.
that came out that they're going to try and make this a really hard one.
Well, he's not going to have as much top secret information at this point, being at the United Nations. He's going there to try to get things done. So we'll see if that could happen. So, Sue, that's what's going on.
Okay.
I guess the follow-up to that, to kind of cap it off and put an end to that, Marco Rubio is getting the national security advisor added to his Secretary of State duties. So Marco's getting, like, I don't know, multiple jobs. He's wearing as many hats as Mike Elam.
Wow.
Or Elon Musk.
Or Elon Musk, right. Mm-hmm. But Musk is going away, remember. He's going back to Tesla. And he's phasing out of Doge, and he's getting back to rebuilding his falling stock price of what's going on with Tesla. It's so funny how the world has changed in the last, I don't know, 5 months. Is that kind of where we are from where the election happened, 6 months?
100 days.
Well, 100 days that he's been in. 103, okay. I guess, from what he's been in. But if you look at where we were on election day and where we are now, up is down is up, green is blue is green. It's just, it's all over the place. Trump has managed to get Democrats to take positions that you never would have thought they would take. You know, they were the Green Party, the party of renewable energy, and electric cars are everything. And Elon Musk makes the most electric cars of anybody. But now they hate him, and they hate his cars, and they're out vandalizing his cars. And I guess nobody bothered to tell him or tell the people vandalizing, you know, the cameras are running all the time. So it's kind of like...
And in some cases, it doesn't matter, right?
Oh. Right.
So there was one caught on camera that was bad. Did anything happen to him? Nope. What was it? Something? Fred? Like some light sentence?
I think there's a number of them that are still pending, and they haven't really done anything. I don't know what the actual classification is if you key a car. So if you key a car, is that that's a misdemeanor, right?
I don't know. It probably depends on where you are.
Where's
right?
Brad Young when we need him?
Yeah.
Right? So... Hey,
Brad will be on with us tomorrow
at
5 o'clock.
Very cool.
Yep.
So we'll check in with Brad. By the way, tomorrow on the roundtable, we've got State Representative Steve Butts, former circuit judge and former state senator Ted House, and Gene Evans is going to join us. So it's going to be a really good roundtable.
And that's because Jane
is going to be in Alabama.
And I think President Trump is speaking at that graduation ceremony.
So Trump talked about
that
today.
That's right.
He talked about that in the Rose Garden and said that he's actually going to the University of Alabama and he's going to speak. They have 7 graduations at the University of Alabama.
Woof.
7 different ceremonies.
And,
but,
and when Jane left here, she said, well, he's not speaking at my daughter's.
Right.
But
they're rolling a bunch of them together.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's... If all of them are going into that, so Jane may be there. But it's funny, Trump said, they have 7 graduations and they decided they're going to roll them all into one. And that's a lot.
It is a lot.
It is a lot. I mean, have you been to a college graduation? Sometimes these things take a really long time. It's like they read everybody's name.
And they do.
You know, they put some of these online now, I guess, for the relatives. And I watched one of my nieces graduate in the car on the phone, you know, because it just takes forever to get to the T's. So on and on and on. But there she is, and they video them, and you can watch it do it. It's a lot easier to watch it that way.
You feel bad for the people. I mean, the people who are A's get it done right away,
uh-huh.
And then they sit there on their phones, I guess, for the entire time. But the people at the Z's. It's like...
Well, you just check in. Okay, we're at the C's. All right, we're at the H's. Right. All right, I'll wait till... Okay, all right.
It started at breakfast, but by lunch, they should be to my name.
Right.
We'll see how all this stuff works out. It was... One of the big things that we're going to talk about later on today is the fact that the press conference that happened today was Stephen Miller just eviscerating the liberal media that was there, calling them to task about everything that's going on. Let's see, which one should we go back to and get to, I guess, the best? Let's start at the top. Let's start with cut 23. This is Stephen Miller. He came out, he did a long soliloquy about everything that's going on with the Trump administration and why it's great and why you should be happy that Donald Trump is the president, right? Then he starts taking questions. And the questions that he gets are just annoying him. He's fun. If you watch his face when they're asking the questions, you can just read on his face the internal monologue that's going on in his head of, you're an idiot. Why am I here? Why am I even talking to you? This is cut 23.
If they had a choice between and I'm a parent of young children, you had a choice between a doll from China that might have, say, lead paint in it, that is not as well constructed as a doll made in America that has a higher environmental and regulatory standard and that is made to a higher degree of quality. And those two products are both on Amazon, that yes, you probably would be willing to pay more for a better made American product, but here's the key point. With the tax cuts, the regulation cuts, the energy price decrease, and everything else that President Trump is doing to unleash this era of American prosperity and prevent the road we were on to get off that road of financial ruin and doom, means that it will be cheaper than ever to make and manufacture in America.
So the backstory of that is the reporter is asking him about prices going up. And the example that he uses, Donald Trump actually used this example and said it would go up in price, is the price of a toy doll. Yes, I said a toy doll is the price that the reporter used as, well, prices are going up. I mean, the president even said you're going to have to pay more for toy dolls. Fred, how many toy dolls do you normally buy a year?
I don't think I'm in that class of people buying toy
Ethan,
dolls.
I mean, you're a newlywed. Do you buy toy dolls for
your
wife?
Well, I may be a newlywed, but I'm not a parent, so I am also.
I didn't know if your wife, you bought her dolls, uh-huh. You know. Sue, you're
I don't need
our
any.
Female. No?
No.
No? Okay. So I guess for all of us, the price of toy dolls really doesn't affect our daily life. So we'll see where that was going. It was interesting. Somebody asked about Kamala Harris doing her first speech. And I guess we should probably listen to a quick cut from Kamala before we get back to actually talking about what they thought of her speech. But it's funny when you listen to her, she has this cadence. And maybe it's just me, but her cadence is really annoying when you listen to. Let's do cut 16. I know you're going to be surprised, but she rips Donald Trump's agenda.
What? It's an agenda, a narrow, self-serving vision of America where they punish truth tellers, favor loyalists, cash in on their power.
Doesn't it feel like she, in many cases, pauses after every word?
Oh, it's super annoying. It's not just you, and it's part of the word salad stuff that she
it
does.
It is.
Did you hear her elephant story?
So I had. Did
Wait,
you,
is that today?
Yeah.
Oh no, what is it?
Oh, so she talked about that. So we've got back to back that we're going to play. So it's two parts of the elephant rambling. So let's start cut 17 and then roll into cut 18 right after this.
Please allow me, friends, to digress for a moment.
Oh,
okay. It's kind of dark in here, but I'm asking a show of hands. Who saw that video from a couple of weeks ago? The one of the elephants at the San Diego Zoo during the earthquake?
I missed it. I missed that video.
Google it if you've not seen it.
I'll have to Google
we
that.
We saw it, but really.
So that scene has been on my mind. Everybody's asking me what you've been thinking about these days. Well, as soon as they felt the earth shaking beneath their feet, they got in a circle and stood next to each other to protect the most vulnerable. We know those who try to incite fear are most effective when they divide and conquer, when they separate the herd, when they try to make everyone think they are alone, but in the face of crisis, the lesson is don't scatter.
What in the, by the time she's done, I've already thought, I've turned into Ethan. I'm like, let's see, what's, what did I get a text?
Speak for yourself, I am motivated.
What?
There's no limits as to what I'm going to do with my evening following the show.
So let's get Stephen Miller's take real quick before we get out of here. Cut 26 on Kamala's speech.
It was a great reminder to the American people of just how blessed we all are that the leader sitting in the Oval Office today is President Donald Trump and not President Kamala Harris. It was a helpful reminder of just what a travesty and a tragedy that would have been. It would have been the end of America.
But wait, there's more. So Kevin McCarthy, who obviously is a huge fan of Kamala Harris, this is his reaction to her speech. It's cut 14.
One of her greatest weaknesses is her ability to speak. And I don't know if she goes back on stage in a big crowd that it's going to help her, because no one's asking her to come out. She has waited trying to have people forget about her and try to resurrect an ability to maybe run for governor of California. And I just don't think this does it. She has forgotten. Her whole campaign was against President Trump, not for ideas. And what's her first step out? Trying to continue that. She hasn't gotten over the loss. She hasn't realized why she lost. And it's just the same thing you're seeing in the Democratic Party, a internal fight for leadership.
It's an eternal fight for leadership, and she thinks that she's going to be governor of California. Can you imagine, as bad as California is right now, it could be worse? I mean, Gavin Newsom at least is recognizing what's going on, and he's trying to change things with his little podcast. He's trying to play and say, see, I'm open to new and different ideas. She's not even open to a speech teacher, which she desperately needs to figure out how to string more than...
I just can't.
So years ago, I learned there are three types of people. There's visual, audio, and kinesthetic people. I am a visual person. Visual people speak faster. Audio people speak a little less. Kinesthetic people think about every word, and it drives me up a wall when I have to have a conversation with a kinesthetic person. I want to finish their sentences all the time. Kamala Harris does that to me. She is that type of person. Bill DiAgostino is going to join us next. He's a senior research analyst for Media Research Center's Newsbusters. He's going to tell us about sort of the reckoning of the week that was, of what's been going on. Trump just destroying Terry Moran. We talked about that a little bit. Stephen Miller, you heard a little of that. Chuck Todd. Don't you miss Chuck Todd? Yeah, me either. Anyway, we're going to talk to Bill on the other side. Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today. Hey, welcome to May 1st. It's a national day of prayer, and after listening to all that, I think we could all use a little bit of that. It's 97.1 FM Talk. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope your May is starting off well. At least the rain stopped, the sun came out, and here comes the sun. We're having a little Beatles flashback today. So, Sue, you did all the music today?
Yeah, what do you think? That was Nick Lowe.
I'm liking it. I haven't heard that song in quite a while. I love 70s music,
by
the way.
Because it's awesome.
It is awesome. 70s is probably my favorite music of all time. Hey, by the way, I wanted to say a special thank you to Bowie Funeral Home. Today was the 33rd annual Missouri Peace Officers Memorial that they had out there in honoring all of the law enforcement officers for them in St. Charles County who passed. We had the one earlier this week. That also was the 33rd annual, honoring all the law enforcement who has passed for across the St. Louis region. And police officer, I don't know if it's called Police Officer Memorial Week, but that starts May 11th. And that's going to happen. You're going to have things that happen all over the country. The big one is in Washington, D.C. that's coming up. So special shout out to all our first responders, especially law enforcement community, for everything you do for us. Bill DiAgostino is joining us on the phone today. He is a senior research analyst for the Media Research Center's Newsbusters. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing well. How's it going, man?
Sounds like the door just kicked open. Is that? I'm just kidding. I'm glad you're taking some time to join us. Man, you have had just, it seems like Christmas for what you're doing of all the different things that you have to write about with Trump doing the Terry Moran thing. I didn't know Chuck Todd was still with us. I thought he went away, or maybe just wishful thinking. And then today, Stephen Miller just going off. It's got to be Christmas for you and stuff to write about.
Yeah, it has been. We actually also just recently published our first 100 days study of broadcast networks. And if you can believe it, they've been more negative on the president than they were during the first 100 days of his first term.
I can't believe that's even possible.
Right? Yeah, 92% negative. Pretty remarkable.
Wow.
And in fact, on the three most covered topics, which would be DOGE, tariffs, and immigration, all of those were actually more than 92% negative. DOGE was 97% negative, and tariffs and immigration, you know, like one of his most popular issues, 93% negative. So, I mean, you know, there's not really any reasoning with this kind of coverage, right? I mean, the media would, when they would look at our statistics, they would always say, you know, well, couldn't it just be that, you know, X percent of the stuff that he's doing is negative and we're just covering it straight? But I mean, I think that really isn't convincing anybody anymore. When you see how maniacally they go after this guy and how relentlessly they hammer any topic that they think they can smell a little bit of blood in the water on, it really puts lie to the notion that they're just trying to be objective and frame things as they really are.
I mean, you cover this stuff every day, and I'm sure you get a little desensitized with everything that's kind of happening because you see it so much. But what's been the biggest surprise for you on this first 100 days of the coverage that you're seeing?
The most remarkable thing to me, and this is just for the evening newscast now from our broadcast study, but there was not a single positive remark about Pete Hegseth in any of their evening newscasts.
Wow.
It was 899 stories that they did related to Trump. And in not a single one of them was there a single positive remark about Hegseth. It was 100% negative.
Wow.
And in fact, I did a study of cabinet nominees back very early into the administration. That one included morning show coverage as well. And so there were actually three positive remarks aired across two ABC and one CBS morning show. And you know what they were? They were quotes from Hegseth's mom. So that was the only positive coverage that the guy got, was literally his own mother.
My mom likes me. You should too.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Cause you know, they chased her down and tried to get negative quotes from her. And, she slightly defended him. So, you know, that was enough. But, yeah, I mean, it's clearly with Hegseth specifically, they see him, I think, as a weaker link in the Trump cabinet. And he's a scalp that they've really wanted since Trump nominated him.
Do you think it's because he's a former Fox guy?
I absolutely think that that's part of it.
Okay.
I think that his affiliation with Fox basically makes them immediately count him as an unserious person. And it certainly doesn't help that he's also on the warpath against DEI and trying to actually return lethality and war fighting capability to the top of the docket for the Department of Defense, which you would think that that's kind of natural thinking, right? That's like the most obvious thing that the DOD should be focusing on. But of course, this is wacky leftist world. And, you know, they hate that.
They've got to be really upset then, because he keeps talking about for the last week of the record numbers of enlistments that they're seeing in the military.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, you know, that 100% negative stat, what that reflects is absolutely zero coverage of record breaking enlistments.
Wow.
Because, you know, obviously they don't want to talk about that because it's a win for Trump, which, you know, gets us back to the whole idea of, no, you're not just interested in covering the facts as they are. You're interested in selling narratives and obfuscating anything that might make Trump look even marginally good.
I wanted to play you a piece of audio from earlier today. This is Cut 27, Ethan. This is Stephen Miller reading the Riot Act to the liberal media earlier today.
Yep.
and each and every one of you that sides over and over again with these MS-13 terrorists, to the extent that you have the financial means to do so, you all choose to live in condos or homes or houses as far away from these kinds of gangbangers as you possibly can. If I offered any one of you a rent-free home with no taxes to pay in any of these gang neighborhoods, and I said your neighbors are MS-13 terrorists or Mexican mafia or Sinaloa cartel or Tren de Aragua, I couldn't pay you to live there. But yet you, with your coverage, are trying to force innocent Americans to have these people as their neighbors, and that one day their daughter may be abducted from their home and raped and murdered. So you're not going to get an ounce of sympathy from this administration or President Trump for the terrorists who've invaded our homes and our country.
Matt, it just feels like all-out war right now in this briefing room, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I'm going to steal a line from somebody that I saw on X, and I'm forgetting who to credit here, but he said he posted an image of a video of Stephen Miller doing something similar at a press spray last week, and he said, "Man, it's great to watch an athlete in peak form just, you know, playing his sport."
And he revels in it. He really does, and he's so good. I mean, he came in today.
He's excellent.
He did that entire press conference, no notes, like nothing in front of him, and just rattling it off. Boom, 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 boom. And he stands there and just takes it to him.
And, you know, this guy has been, I mean, he's been basically in a bunker for the last 4 years going through, like, old U.S. law, trying to craft this whole, like, grand legal strategy for how to implement, like, in as many different ways as possible, Trump's deportation agenda. And then these lightweight journalists who have just, for example, just heard what the Alien Enemies Act last week, right, or something like that, come out and they try to spar with him, and he starts citing chapter and verse at them, and it's like, wow, you are so out of your element. This man is like, he's made himself the foremost expert on these things, just because he's the only one who's put in the legwork. He's put in the time, you know?
And he knows it, chapter and verse, like you're saying. He knows it all by heart.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. It is fun to see him schooling them on that. And, you know, honestly, I've been a bit of a curmudgeonly border hawk for most of my political career. And I genuinely do feel that on border security, and I don't really like to frame it as immigration. I think that that's kind of a media framing tactic, because border security is actually a charge of the executive branch. Immigration is a charge of the legislative branch, right? Like the passing laws about the naturalization of citizens, that's the legislature's job.
That's a good
border
point.
Border security specifically, I think, is something that the media are further to the left of the American people on than just about any other topic. I mean, truly the standard for who gets to live and stay in America, even if they're an illegal citizen, it's two criteria. It's A, do you want to? And B, have you gotten here? And if you check those two boxes, the media think you should be allowed to stay here forever, and that anybody saying otherwise, anything that deviates from that is just unabashed cruelty and evil. Because, I mean, they don't believe in borders, at least not when it comes to America.
Well, they seem to have been just turning a blind eye to the whole thing. And Miller really read them on that earlier today and telling them about the fact of you had all these people coming across and you wrote nothing negative about it, at least. What did you think of the interview with Terry Moran with ABC did with him?
Terry Moran is an incredibly slippery fellow. I am continuously shocked at how disingenuous he is, the way he engages with, I mean, not just Trump in this interview, but in general, whenever he's got a Republican politician sitting in front of him. And I was talking about this with a friend last night. He has this thing that he does. And a lot of these journalists do that where they will cloak a nugget of truth in just a whole web of lies. And so starting from a nugget of truth, move on to push a completely false narrative. And so in this case, what that looked like was in that discussion with Trump about the MS-13 tattoos on Kilmar Abrego Garcia's knuckles. Moran points out, okay, he does not actually literally have the symbols MS-13 on his knuckles. But then from that, he gives the impression, he starts talking about, you know, photos being photoshopped and gives the impression essentially that this guy might not even have tattoos on his fingers at all.
Right.
Or if they are, they have nothing to do with MS-13, when the reality is they are widely recognized by basically all criminologists who know anything about this as, yes, these are obviously MS-13 tattoos. But he, from just the fact that it's not literally the letters MS and the numbers 1-3, he then gives the impression that this whole story is fake. And then when Trump tries to call him on it, he acts like he doesn't even know what Trump's talking about. And that's basically a microcosm of what the whole interview was.
This is
the game that he always plays with people.
This is my favorite quote, cut 34 from that interview.
Do you think the reputation of the United States has gone down under your presidency?
I think it's gone way up, and I think we're a respected country again. We were laughed at all over the world. We had a president that couldn't walk up a flight of stairs, couldn't walk down a flight of stairs, couldn't walk across a stage without falling. We had a president that was grossly incompetent. You knew it, I knew it, and everybody knew it, but you guys didn't want to write it because you're fake news.
All right. Thank you.
And by the way, ABC is one of the worst. I have to be honest with you.
I love that. You're the worst. And he just calls him out straight on his interview. The thing I love, though, is that it aired. I mean, you're telling your viewers, you're letting the president of the United States tell your viewers that what they're watching right now is the worst news coverage they could see.
And I think it's an issue of their perception, right? Because they are so just knee-jerk, horrified and offended and disgusted by Trump saying that they can't interpret that as, or they can't imagine that comment being read differently by anything, by anybody else, anybody watching. And so they expect their viewers to have the exact same revulsion to hearing Trump say, oh, you're fake news, you're the worst, you're terrible, that they do, because they see this as some kind of like grievous injustice. But of course, that's not how the rest of us perceive it. Most people perceive that as a pretty aggressive dunk on Terry Moran. And, you know, he was taking little jabs at Moran throughout the whole interview at one point.
He was.
At one point, he said, I didn't even know who you were before you came in here.
He's like, that's why I gave you the interview. I didn't know who you were. Thought I was helping this young journalist by giving him a break.
You know what's funny, too, is what Trump was talking about there. Moran actually said an incredibly similar thing about Donald Trump during his first term. We put out a compilation of some of Moran's worst moments of talking about Trump in the lead up to this interview. And in one of them, I believe it was in 2017, he says the United States has become a laughingstock in the capitals of Europe. That's a direct quote.
Wow.
And of course, he's referring to the Trump administration, in Moran's view, at least, mishandling our international relations. So it's kind of funny to hear Trump talking about his predecessor in very similar terms that Moran himself has discussed Trump.
Wow. So he's just putting it back to him.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it's intentional or not, but spot the difference, right? One of them is a politician and one of them is supposed to be an objective journalist.
I just love the fact that Trump doesn't matter. He'll go into any line student wherever and just take you on. And he takes on everybody. He doesn't just do friendly interviews like Biden used to do all the time.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry, Biden didn't do interviews. What was I thinking? That was wrong. Hey, that's Bill DeAugustino. Bill, what's the best way for people to follow you along?
Yeah, come check us out at newsbusters.org. And our parent site is mrc.org for Media Research Center. And if you like, you can follow me on X, too. I'm at band_Bill.
Band.
Although I'm not banned anymore.
That's funny. I love that. Well, man, thanks for taking the time to be with us today. I hope your May is fantastic. We're kicking off with sunshine here. I hope it's sunny where you are. So thanks for giving us some time today.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on, man.
That is Bill DeAugustino. He's the senior research analyst for the Media Research Center's Newsbusters. It's just funny to watch some of that stuff and hear some of these things. I can't believe that there is zero media positive coverage of Pete Hegseth. I don't know why I should be surprised about that, but to have zero, you would think there would have been something somewhere, especially when you start talking about recruitment numbers. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today. Hope your day is starting off well. It is National Day of Prayer, so you may want to pause at some point just to thank God for the blessings that you have. We are thankful that you are listening to 97.1 FM Talk. So I apologize for going a little long with Bill DeAugustino, but I always kind of like talking about the media stuff because we're in the media. How do you like that? Tomorrow's going to be fun. We've got the roundtable that's happening with Steve Butts, Ted House, Gene Evans is joining us. Paul Hall. I always love Fridays here because Paul Hall gives me great stuff to watch on the weekend.
Yes.
And Sue was just talking about it looks like it's going to keep raining. So we'll also get to talk to Frank Cusumano. Blues didn't have a great night last night, but cautiously optimistic because John Gruden's coming to town for the game. So that's going to be fun. We're going to talk with Missouri Lieutenant Governor David Wassinger. He had an interesting day today. We will talk about that coming up at 4:25. George Rosenthal is going to join us. He's one of the owners of ThrottleNet. I learned some stuff today, Sue, that means Mike needs to reset his passwords. We will talk to George about that. He's got some good, helpful hints. Plus, he could tell us what's going on with all this Google stuff that's happening in the courts. They want to break Google up, but it's not so easy to do that with everything is intermingled with these tech companies.
Exactly.
So you can't just cut off one and let the rest of it live. But my favorite thing that's going to happen after the top of the hour, it's Sue's News.
Yay!
And Sue's doing the music today, so it's even better.
Okay, Mike, that's what I was going to say. I can't believe how fun it is to pick the music on this show. I had no idea!
And why isn't it playing underneath us right now?
Well, because... It's just really fun, and I had no idea. So thank you to Ethan for letting me have a day.
Get more at 971talk.com.